श्रीशुक उवाच त एवं संसतो धर्मं वचः पत्युरचेतसः नैवागृह्णनत संभ्रान्तः पलायन परानृप
Shri Sukadeva Goswami said, O King, Vritrasur, the commander-in-chief of the demons, advised his lieutenants in the principles of religion. But the cowardly demoniac commanders, intent upon fleeing the battlefield, were so disturbed by fear that they could not accept his words.
Read the next translation.
O King Parikshit, the demigods, taking advantage of a favorable opportunity presented by time, attacked the army of the demons from the rear and began driving away the demonic soldiers, scattering them here and there, as if their army had no leader. Seeing the pitiable condition of his soldiers, Vritrasura, the best of the Asuras, who was called Indra Shatru, the enemy of Indra, was very much aggrieved. Unable to tolerate such reverses, he stopped and forcefully rebuked the demigods, speaking the following words in an angry mood. O demigods.
No, this we'll read. Kimva uccharitair matur dhavadbhihi prishtato hataihi nahi bhitavadha shlaghyo nasarvagyaha suramaninam.
O demigods. These demoniac soldiers have taken birth uselessly. Indeed, they have come from the bodies of their mothers exactly like stool. What is the benefit of killing such enemies from behind while they are running in fear? One who considers himself a hero should not kill an enemy who is afraid of losing his life. Such killing is never glorious, nor can it promote one to the heavenly planets.
Kimva uccharitair matur. Uccharitai matur means stool coming out of mother's body. So such a demoniac soldier who is just running away from the battlefield is as good as a stool. Stool of mother or urine of father. So these are the comparisons given to such people. So demoniac soldiers took birth uselessly. Kimva uccharitair matur dhavat bihi prishtato hataihi. Dhavat bhir means they are running away. So what is the use of chasing such people or beating or killing such people who are just running away? You can't call yourself heroes, right? Nahi bhita vadha shlaghyo. Shlaghya means worth glorifying, right? Bhita vadha. Bhita vadha means killing a person who is fearful. So you cannot be glorified by killing a person who is fearful. Right, so na swargya suramaninam, and you are thinking that your demigod positions will be secure, your position in heavenly planets will be very safe. If you kill these people, you will not get heaven only. If you kill people like this on the battlefield, how can you attain heaven? That is his point. Right? Nobody will attain heaven just by killing fearful enemies from behind. No glory, no suramaninam. You can't consider yourself heroes also. So like that he rebuked the demigods also. So first he gave a class to the demons. They didn't hear. They were running away. Now he started giving class to the demigods. So he speaks. Prabhupada is writing about the etiquettes of military science on the in this purport. Vritrasura rebuked the demigods and demons. And fight. Opposing parties must be prepared to fight like heroes. Hero never runs. He always fights face to face, determined to gain victory or lay down his life. Either I will win in this battle or die in this battle. I will not go away from this battle. That is his attitude. Okay, next, fifth verse.
Yadivaha pradhane shraddha saramva kshullaka hridi agre tishtata matram me Nachet gramya sukhe spruha.
O insignificant demons, demigods, if you truly have faith in your heroism, if you have patience in the course of your hearts, and if you are not ambitious for sense gratification, please stand before me for a moment.
It's a really very powerful dialogue. Yadivah pradhane shraddha saram va kshullaka hridi. Kshullaka means he already called them insignificant people. If at all you have some saram, if at all you have some patience in your hearts, just stand before me for a while. And if you are not ambitious for sense gratification, please stand before me for a moment. Means you cannot stand before me for a moment also. If you stand before me for a moment, I am going to kill you. But if you are not standing before me for a moment and running away from the battlefield, I am not like you to chase you from behind and kill you. Run away. You just run away. I will not unnecessarily bother you. But if you are standing in front of me, you cannot live. You cannot escape death. So it's a very heroic statement. Read next is fight only. Vritrasura, the angry and most powerful hero, terrified the demigods with his shout and strongly built body. When he roared with a resounding voice, nearly all living entities fainted. Just mere roar is sufficient when someone is actually a hero. Bhima used to roar on the battlefield. When all the demigods... Hey, where is the scoop? There was some battle between demigods and demons, which was discussed earlier. But Vritrasura's entrance, because he's the leader, na? His entrance and his participation is not very prominent so far. When all the demigods heard Vritrasura's tumultuous roar, which resembled that of a lion, they fainted and fell to the ground as if struck by thunderbolts. As the demons closed their eyes in fear, Vritrasura, taking up his trident and making the earth tremble with his great strength, trampled the demigods beneath his feet on the battlefield, the way a mad elephant tramples hollow bamboos in the forest. Hollow bamboos. When you stamp on a normal wood or something like that, so you may just create some impression on the land, on the earth. But when you stamp on hollow bamboos, the bamboos will be crushed between the earth and your feet, if you are powerful. If you are like Vritrasura. So they are compared to hollow bamboos. Means they are affected. Right? Next. Seeing Vritrasura's disposition, Indra, the king of heaven, became intolerant and threw at him one of his great clubs. From here, the real fight starts. Which are extremely difficult to counteract. However, as the club flew towards him, Vritrasura easily caught it with his left hand. You can see the painting. There is a painting, I don't know if it is, it's there in the inside. See, in the left hand, the club is there. In comparison to Vritrasura, the club is as big as his finger only. One of his fingers, left hand. And Vritrasura had a trident, and Indra is poor, Indra is trying to fight. So it's a very beautiful painting. So Indra threw one of his clubs. Now you are trying to fight the opponent with your enemy, with your weapons, and the weapon is made useless. What will you fight? For example, Shishupala was chasing Rukmini and Krishna. So Krishna kidnapped Rukmini and Shishupala was running. Krishna was running. And so many soldiers came there and Krishna defeated all of them. They all went away. Jarasandha went away. Shishupal went away. And who else? And so many other people associated with Jarasandha. They just left. But Rukmi, the brother of Rukmini, he started chasing. Although everybody left, this one fellow started chasing as if he can fight. So he took his bow, about to shoot arrows. Krishna shot an arrow and broke his bow. He looked at his sword. Krishna shot an arrow and then sword is gone. And later he was moving ahead. Krishna killed his chariot driver and broke his chariot. What he will do? He's about to do something and then Krishna is just taking away whatever weapon he had or whatever act he's about to do. So there is no scope for fighting only with such powerful people. So there is no actual match between this kind of opponents. So Vritrasura and the demigods were fighting And Vritrasara is way thousands of times more powerful than many of these demigods. So nobody could stand in front of him. Indra's club was useless in front of Vritrasara's prowess. Oh, King Parikshit, the powerful Vritrasara, the enemy of Indra, angrily struck the head of Indra's elephant with a club, making a tumultuous sound on the battlefield. For this heroic deed, the soldiers on both sides glorified him. So one of the features of Kshatriya spirit is that whenever someone shows very glorious valor on the battlefield, even the opponents also glorify him. So Dhruva was fighting with the Yakshas in the fourth canto. Even Yakshas glorified Dhruva's prowess. Wow, you're a great fighter. That is Kshatriya spirit. They will fight. They will continue to fight. It's not that they will appreciate, they will glorify you and then offer dandavas and then leave. That they will not do. They will fight, but they will appreciate your prowess also. So they will also get some maja. They will also get some happiness in fighting with that kind of person. Struck with the club by Vritrasara like a mountain struck by a thunderbolt, the elephant Airavata, feeling great pain and spitting blood from its broken mouth, was pushed back 14 yards. In great distress, the elephant fell with Indra on its back. Indra also. When he saw Indra's carrier elephant thus fatigued and injured, and when he saw Indra morose because his carrier had been harmed in that way, the great soul Vritrasara, following religious principles, refrained from again striking Indra with a club. When the opponent is just gasping his breath and then he was just struck, he should be given some space to recover and fight back. So Vritrasara did not want to attack Indra in such a condition. So only a fighter of low self-esteem will attack an opponent when he is not in a position to fight back. Right? But Vritrasara followed the dharma of Yuddha. Taking this opportunity, Indra touched the elephant with his nectar-producing hand, thus relieving the animal's pain and curing its injuries. Then the elephant and Indra both stood silently, very sobered down. Right? Indra had nectar, he is a demigod, he has some mystic powers also, nectar-producing hand. He just revived the elephant, but after all, that's a defeat, right? He became a little sober. O king, when the great hero Vritrasara saw Indra, his enemy, the killer of his brother, standing before him with a thunderbolt in his hand, desiring to fight, Vritrasara remembered how Indra had cruelly killed his brother. Thinking of Indra's sinful activities, he became mad with lamentation and forgetfulness. Laughing sarcastically, he spoke as follows. From here onwards, Vritrasara will start speaking.
Dishtya bhavan me samavasthito ripur. Yo brahmaha guruha bhratruha cha. Dishtyanrunodhyaham asattamatvaya. Matshulanirbhinnadrishad didhranchayat. Dhridachirat.
Read the translation.
Shri Vritrasura said, he who has killed a Brahmana, he who has killed his spiritual master, indeed, he who has killed my brother is now by good fortune standing before me face to face as my enemy. O most abominable one, when I pierce your stone-like heart with my trident, I shall be freed from my debt to my brother.
Dishtya bhavan me samavasthito ripur. Ripu is enemy.
So, it's my great fortune that I'm standing in front of my enemy. What kind of enemy is he?
Yo brahmaha,
a killer of a brahmana. Guruha, a killer of a guru.
Bhratruha, killer of a brother.
Right? Killer of... Bhratruha refers to my brother. Right? He is Vritrasara's brother. Who is Vritrasara's brother? Vishwarupa. How is he brother? Tvashta becomes the father of Vritrasara also, because he is the one who gave him birth through sacrifice.
So he is Brahmaha Guruha because he killed killed Vishwarupa.
So basically, he got three names for killing one fellow only. So all the Brahma, Guru and Bhratru all are referring to Vritrasara only, Vishwarupa only.
So drishtyan rino dhyaham asattamatvaya matshula nirbhinna drishad dhridachirat. So I am going to kill you with my trident now, and by killing you I will relieve debt to my brother, right? I will be relieved from my debt to my brother. So a devotee is relieved from all debts by performing devotional service. What is that verse Prabhupada quotes in the Devarshi Bhutatranam Pitruvanam Nakinkaro Rayam Ranicharajan Sarvatmanayaha Saranam Saranyam Gatomukundam Parihritya Kartum. So the debt to Deva, Rishi, Devarshi, Bhuta means other living entities, Apta, relatives, Ranam, men in general. Devarshi, Bhuta, Apta, Ranam, Pitrunam, then Na Kinkaro, servants, Na Ayam, Rinicha, Rajan. So one is by default indebted to all these people, to sages and all these people. But if he performs devotional service, he is relieved from the debts. But only if he performs devotional service, gato mukundam parihritya kartum, if he is completely dedicated to the devotional service of Lord Vasudeva, Mukunda, then only he will be relieved. If he just stays away from clearing debts from all these people and does not perform worship of Mukunda also, then he will be obliged. So we will be relieved from the debts to all these people to the extent we take to the devotional service properly, sincerely. So if one gets spaced out here also and he doesn't clear debts there also, then he will be, you know, indebted more, right? But great devotees do not take unnecessary advantage of this. Although, because I am doing devotional service, I am relieved from all this. So Vritrasura, still he thinks that I am indebted to my brother. So let me clear this debt by killing his enemy, okay, by killing his killer. So devotees don't think that they are beyond this rules and regulations, right? Oh, these protocols are not meant for me, I am a devotee. So he doesn't say that. Right? Sometimes devotee gets into that attitude. Of course, there are other devotees who say, I am not bothered about all this. Sandhya vandana bhadramastu bhavato bhosnayana tubhyam namo. Madhvacharya says, who is that? Madhavendra Puri says, Bho deva pitarascha tarpana vidho naham kshamaha kshamyatam. Right? Yatrakvapi nishadya yadavukulo tamsasya kamsadvishaha smaram smaram agham harami tadalam manye ki manye nami. Just by remembrance of the enemy of Kamsa, who is Krishna, I will be relieved from all these debts. Sandhyavandan, I will not do anymore. Right? Bhadramastu bhavato, let there be auspiciousness for you, my dear Sandhyavandan. Bhosnana tubhyam namo, oh, three times bath in a day. Right? Let there be, I offer my dandavats to you. So I can't be doing that anymore. So that's sometimes devotees say that also. Sometimes out of their humility, devotees also feel that I am indebted to my family members. I have to kill. So next, 15th verse. Yono grajasyatma vidho dvijater guror apapasya cha dikshitasya vishrabhya khadgena shiram shavrishchat Pashor Iva Karna Svarga Kama.
Only for the sake of living in the heavenly planets, you killed my elder brother, a self-realized, sinless, qualified Brahmana, who had been appointed your chief priest. He was your spiritual master, but although you entrusted him with the performance of your sacrifice, you later mercilessly severed his head from his body, the way one butchers an animal.
So you know, Noah means our, right? Agrajasya Atmavidaha. My Agraja, my elder brother, is Atmavidaha. He's a self-realized person. Dvijatir, he's a twice-born, qualified Brahmana. Guruho, he's a spiritual master. Although he is Atmavida, Dvija, and Guru, Apapasya, he's freed from all sinful activities. So four qualities of Vishwarupa are mentioned here. And Dikshitasya, he is appointed as the initiator of your yajna. Then Vishrabhya Khadgena Shiramsi Avrishchit. Shiramsi means plural. He had three heads. You had cut all these three heads with a sword. How did you cut? Pashor Iva. As if he were an animal, you had cut his heads. Akarunaya. Akaruna means without any compassion. Although he is Guru, he is Dvija, he is Atmavidaha, he is Dikshita, he is Apapa, five qualities. Still, without any mercy, you have killed him, you have beheaded him, only because of your greed to sit on the throne of heaven. Svarga Kamaihi. You are too lusty, you are too greedy to enjoy the heavenly opulence. That's why you had killed your Guru. So, I cannot forgive this. You are like a butcher. Shri Hri Daya Kirti Virujjitam Tvam Svakarmana Purushadaischa Garhyam Kritsrena Matsyola Vibhinna Deham Asprishtavahnim Samadanti Gridhraha.
Indra, you are bereft of all shame, mercy, glory and good fortune. Deprived of these good qualities by the reactions of your fruitive activities, you are to be condemned even by the man-eaters, Rakshasas. Now, I shall pierce your body with my trident, and after you die with great pain, even fire will not touch you. Only the vultures will eat your body.
This is very heavy chastisement, right? Very bold chastisement. Shri Hri Daya Kirti Bhir Ujjitam Tvam. Indra, all the Shri, opulence and beauty, Hri, shame, Daya, mercy. Next, what is Kirti, fame. So all these, you are bereft of all this. Right, you don't have any of this now anymore. Svakarmana Purushadaischa Garhyam. Svakarmana, by your own stupid activities, shameless activities, you have become condemned, Garhyam. You have become condemned even by Purushada. Purushada means man-eaters. They eat just humans. So even man-eaters also condemn you because of your horrible activities. Then Kritsrena Matsyola Vibhinna Deham. So I will, Vibhinna Deham, I will separate your body from your head with my Trishul. Then what will happen? Asprishta Vahinim. Even Vahini, Vahini means fire. Even Vahini will not touch you. Even fire will not burn your body because you have become so untouchable. So fire god is a subservient of Indra, but he will also not touch you, he says. Samadanti Gridhraha. Gridhraha means vultures. Only vultures will eat your body. Fire will not touch your body. Vultures will eat your body. And you will become stool of vultures. So that's how heavily he chastised.
Anyeno te Tveha drisham samagnam Yadudyatashraha praharanti mayam Mahiyam Tairbhutanathan saganan nishata Trishola nirbhinna galair yajami.
You are naturally cruel. If the other demigods, unaware of my prowess, follow you by attacking me with raised weapons, I shall sever their heads with this sharp dent. With those heads, I shall perform a sacrifice to Bhairava and the other leaders of the ghosts, along with their hordes.
So, anyetu te tveha risham samagna. So, if other people, other demigods, anye, if they follow you, anu, anu means following. Right? So, anye anu te, if other people follow you, other demigods follow you and attack me, I will sever their heads also. First, I will sever your head, I will sever their heads also, and do a sacrifice to Bhairava. So, Vritrasura is not the devotee of Bhairava, he is a devotee of Lord Sankarshan. He was Chitraketu. We will discuss that in the next week. So, Vritrasura is doing a sacrifice to Bhairava. He's planning to do a sacrifice to Bhairava with all his heads, all the heads of demigods, because he is playing the role of a demon. Right? And also, Vritrasura was aware that he is not going to cut the head of Indra. He cannot cut the heads of any of these demigods. Because Lord Vishnu predicted that Vritrasura will be died in the hands of these demigods, in the hands of Indra. So Vritrasura had complete faith on the instructions and predictions of Lord Vishnu. So on the battlefield, he is playing the role of a demon, an opponent. He is chastising Indra, but he surrendered to the will of Krishna. So he is very well aware. So that is very much evident in the very next verse only. So Vritrasura was certain that he would be killed in the battle by Indra, because this was the desire of Lord Vishnu. Now he says, although he said that I'll do a sacrifice to Bhairava with all the heads of demigods, he's saying in the 18th verse, Atho hare me kulishe navira, harta pramarthye vashiro yadhiva, tatra nrino bhuta balim vidhaya, manasvinam padarja prapatsye.
But if in this battle you cut off my head with your thunderbolt and kill my soldiers, O Indra, O great hero, I shall take great pleasure in offering my body to other living entities such as jackals and vultures. I shall thus be relieved of my obligations to the reactions of my karma, and my fortune will be to receive the dust from the lotus feet of great devotees like Narad Muni.
He says, but if you kill me, first he said, I will kill you. I will kill all of you. Your entire party I will kill you. But if you kill me, means you are about to kill me. That I know. You will only kill me. I will not kill you. So that Vritrasura is completely convinced of this fact. If you kill me, I offer my body to other living entities. Right? And I will be relieved from all reactions. And my fortune will be to receive the dust of great devotees like Narada. Hrita pramarthyaiva shiro yadiha. Tatranduno bhuta balim vadhaya manasvinam padarajah prapatse. This is his ultimate desire. Manasvinam. Manasvis means great devotees, great sages like Narada Muni. Padarajah prapatse. I will attain the dust of their lotus feet. So I will have a glorious end. So Vritrasura is very well aware of his destination. So Prabhupada writes in the purport that one returns back to Godhead by Vaishnava's mercy. Echai gosai yara charana vandan. Tasabara padarenu mora panchagras. Esai gochai yara mui taradas. So I am the servant of the six Goswamis. Dust of their lotus feet provides my five kinds of food. A Vaishnava always desires the dust of the lotus feet of previous acharyas and Vaishnavas. Vina mahat pada rajobhishekam. Without bathing oneself in the dust of the lotus feet of Vaishnavas, there is no means for deliverance. Vritrasura was prepared for death because he knew that after his death he was destined to go back to Godhead. For him, death is not defeat, Vritrasura. Death is just one step to go back to Godhead. So what is stopping me, what is separating me from the spiritual world is this death. Let this death come, then I will go to the spiritual world. So he is not at all afraid of death. He is prepared for it completely. So before that death reaches him, what he needs to do? He has to do some fight. Yes, he has to do some pastime with Indra. He has to chastise for a while, 5 minutes chastisement or 10 minutes chastisement, and maybe a few more minutes of fight. Then he will go into trance, he will go back to Godhead. Vritrasura knows within no time I am going back to Godhead. So before going back to Godhead, I just have to deal with this fellow for some time. That's all. And he will be here only. He will be in this material universe, rotting in this material heavenly planets, thinking that he is enjoying. So I will go back to Godhead. Vritrasura is confident about it. So the great destination is back to Godhead. It is achieved by the grace of a Vaishnava. Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nistara Paichakeva. So if one receives the dust of the lotus feet of a Manasvi, a great devotee, he certainly goes back to Godhead. Prabhupada repeatedly says. So Vritrasura was simply waiting for the opportunity of the thunderbolt being released. My dear Indra, you just released Gada only. Right? You just released Gada. With my left hand, I made it useless. So now release thunderbolt. I am waiting for that opportunity. That's what Vritrasura meant internally. So the only ecstasy in Vritrasura's entire life was to be killed by the thunderbolt of Indra. Vritrasura's ecstasy. Otherwise, Vritrasura had no other ecstasy or excitement in his entire life. Entire life is like very short only, but that is the purpose of his living. The purpose of existence of Vritrasura is to be killed by the thunderbolt, because that is the service given to him by Vishnu. Vishnu said, this Vritrasura will be killed by the thunderbolt of Indra. Right? He has no other purpose to live. His purpose of living is to die with that thunderbolt. So he was waiting for the thunderbolt to be released. So he told Indra, you will gain victory and I will go back to Godhead. So victory is Indra's. Defeat is Vritrasura's. And who will go back to Godhead? Vritrasura. Who will stay in this material world? Indra. So who is actually victorious? Who is actually defeated? So Vritrasura was victorious. Indra was defeated. So that is totally a different fight only. Here, demigod is the villain. Devotee, the demon is the hero. Indra, you can't call him villain also, but he's not, definitely not the hero in this episode. Vritrasura is the hero. So you will gain victory and I shall go back to Godhead. Your deed will be equally beneficial for both of us. Now, 19. Because what Vritrasura was aspiring for is to go back to Godhead. And what is Indra's aspiration? To become the king of heaven again. So Krishna is not doing any injustice there. Krishna is doing ethamam prapadyante. Krishna is just reciprocating with the individual desires of these two devotees. Indra is a devotee, Vritrasura is a devotee. But Vritrasura is such a devotee who aspired to go back to Godhead. Indra is such a devotee who aspired to stay in heavenly planets. So Krishna fulfilled both of their desires through this thunderbolt in the middle. So 19th verse. Suresha Kashman Nahino Ashivajram Purasthite Vairini Maya Mogham Masam Shayistha Nagadeva Vajra Syan Nishvala Krupanatheva Yanchna. O King of the Demigods, since I, your enemy, am standing before you, why don't you hurl your thunderbolt at me? Although your attack upon me with your club was certainly useless, like a request of money from a miser, the thunderbolt you carry will not be useless. You need have no doubts about this.
So Indra was actually doubtful after he threw that gada, na? And he just took that gada with left hand and threw it like this. He is throwing a weapon and then he catches that weapon and throws it like this. And on top of it, he will hit the, Vritrasura hit the carrier of Indra. And Airavat went 14 yards back. He was bleeding. And out of great difficulty, Indra revived that Airavat and then soberly and silently was standing there. So now, Indra's insecurity is that if I release this thunderbolt, Vritrasura will catch the thunderbolt. So he'll catch like this and then throw it like this. What will happen? So much endeavor I did. So many prayers I offered. 50 prayers, Lamba chapter. So many prayers we offered to get this thunderbolt, and this fellow will make that useless. So Indra was very doubtful to release the thunderbolt. Now Vritrasura understood this. Hey, I have to go back to Godhead. The more you delay, the more my journey will be delayed. Throw it fast. Don't be insecure. Throw it. He says, Suresha Kashma Nahinoshi Vajram. I am standing before you. Why don't you throw this thunderbolt at me? So he says, it won't be useless like the club. He again gives assurance. Are you thinking that this thunderbolt is as good as that club? Yeah, I made your club useless. But I cannot make your thunderbolt useless. Right? Your fear is useless first, understand. Have faith on Vishnu's instruction. It is Vishnu's prediction and Vishnu's desire that this thunderbolt should kill Vritrasura. And I am Vritrasura standing in front of you. If at all you have some faith on Vishnu's words, throw that thunderbolt on me. don't behave like a non-devotee. Behave like a devotee. Right? I am Asura or you are Asura. So I am telling you, you hurl that thunderbolt, I will not make it useless. I will be killed by that thunderbolt. Please believe me. So that is how he is encouraging. So here, Vritrasura had more faith on Vishnu's words than Indra. Indra being a mixed devotee, he could not have so much faith like Vritrasura.
So he is a Vaishnava. He assured Indra, thunderbolt would not fail, for he knew that it had been prepared in accordance with the instructions of Vishnu. Indra had doubts.
Indra's understanding of Vishnu's prowess is not complete, but Vritrasura's understanding of Vishnu's prowess is much more advanced than Indra's understanding. So, in which garb a devotee might present himself, we cannot predict. At this point, why Vritrasura is fighting? If he wins the fight, who will receive the benefit of this fight? Nobody. All the demons left Vritrasura. All the demigods were against Vritrasura. Indra was against Vritrasura. And all the great sages were doing sacrifices and performing, offering prayers and then doing some yajnas or whatever, so that Vritrasura can be died. Because they also want peace in the universe, right? At this point, the biggest disturbance-causing element in the universe is Vritrasura. He was standing on the battlefield on behalf of the demigods, attacking the demons. Attacking the demigods. He was standing on the behalf of demons. So all the demons flew away. They are not causing any trouble. Only Vritrasura was standing. He is doing only out of his duty, sense of duty. That Krishna wanted me to fight. This is my service to Vishnu. My service to Vishnu is to fight and to be killed by this thunderbolt. So I am standing on the battlefield. So there is absolutely no one on the side of Vritrasura. Still he is continuing to fight with his full vigor. So many times to perform one service, apparently we feel that whom am I trying to please? Why am I doing this service? By doing this service, whom will I offer these results to? So even Arjuna was also feeling like that. If I win this battle, and at the end of this battle, I will lose all my relatives and friends, whom will I show off my victory? Right? Sometimes in the mind of a servant also this question will come. After doing this service, after doing this big endeavor, so who will see this result? Right? Ultimately, it has to be seen and I have to be recognized and glorified for it. So that insecurity was not there in Vritrasura's mind. Vritrasura was thinking that it is Krishna's desire that I have to fight and I have to be killed by this thunderbolt. I will fight. And I am happy. All the entire universe was against me. All the entire universe misunderstands me as a demon and nobody recognizes me as a devotee. Still, I will continue to fight because it pleases Krishna. It pleases my Guru Narada Muni. So Vritrasura was focused exclusively on pleasing his Guru and Lord Sankarsana. And he was not at all discouraged by the opinions or perceptions of all the people in this world. Nobody in the entire universe understood what is Vritrasura at that point. In this current context, Vritrasura was thoroughly misunderstood personality by the entire universe. There is not a single person in the universe who could understand what is there in the mind of Vritrasura. Why is he doing what he is doing? Everybody perceived him only as a disturbance causing element in the universe. If this person dies, there will be peace in the universe. If this person lives, there will be no peace in the universe. So he has to be vanquished at any cost. So at one point, Indra was, we will see tomorrow, Indra was hesitating to fight. Sages said, we will perform Ashwamedha Yajna to relieve you of the sinful activity of killing a Brahmana, but at any cost, you cannot spare the life of this Vritrasura, you should immediately kill him. Even sages encouraged Indra to kill. Tomorrow we will discuss it more elaborately. So there is nobody on the side of Vritrasura. At least one fellow will be there on my side who gives me emotional support.
So next verse. 20th verse. नन्वेशवज्रस्तवशक्रतेजस हरेर्धदीचे तपसा च तेजिता तेनैव शत्रुं जहि विष्णु यन्त्रितो यतो हरिर् विजयश्रीर् गुणस्ततः.
ओ इंद्र किंग ऑफ हेवन, थंडरबोल्ट यू कैरी टू किल मी हैज बीन एम्पावर्ड बाय द प्रोवेस ऑफ लॉर्ड विष्णु एंड द स्ट्रेंथ ऑफ द दधीचि'स ऑस्टेरिटीज. सिंस यू हैव कम हियर टू किल मी इन अकॉर्डेंस विद लॉर्ड विष्णु'स ऑर्डर, देर इज नो डाउट दैट आई शैल बी किल्ड बाय द रिलीज ऑफ योर थंडरबोल्ट. लॉर्ड विष्णु हैज साइडेड विद यू, देयरफॉर योर विक्ट्री, ऑपुलेंस एंड ऑल गुड क्वालिटीज आर अश्योर्ड.
सो वृत्रासुर इज एनकरेजिंग इंद्र not only by saying that throw the thunderbolt, he is also reminding him of the power, of the cause of the power of the thunderbolt. This thunderbolt is so powerful, not as silly as your gada. Your club is nothing in comparison to this thunderbolt. Your club is very powerful, I know, but it's not as powerful as me. But thunderbolt is more powerful in terms of killing me. Because thunderbolt has been empowered by Vishnu's prowess and Dadhichi's austerities. And Vishnu has personally predicted that this thunderbolt will kill Vritrasura. So Dadhichi's austerities and Vishnu's prowess. You cannot doubt Vishnu's prowess. You cannot doubt Dadhichi's austerities. You may have your doubts on your own prowess of fighting with me, but you cannot doubt them. Many times, a sadhaka might lack sufficient faith on the power or the on the power of the process of devotional service, and he may think that, oh, this may not work, right? Because there is no sufficient faith or trust that Krishna will protect like that. So that's why he cannot venture into certain things. If one has trust on Krishna's Shakti, he may take some bold step in doing certain service to Krishna. But oftentimes, our mind will just give hundreds of reasons that this is not practical. This task is not a practical task. We should not be doing this. We should not be entering into this arena. So like that, so many thoughts mind might present. Because as long as we are thinking that I can do this or I cannot do this, the focus is on one's individual strength, personal strength. But if the sadhaka shifts the focus on Krishna's empowerment and Guru's empowerment and Krishna's will, if Krishna wants, this will happen. Although at this point I may not see that I don't have enough capacity to handle this. If I just enter into it, Krishna may give me that power to do this. So like that, of course you cannot just climb on this and jump and say that Krishna will give me power, I will not get any fracture. Not in a sentimental, premature way, but we should always make an endeavor to increase our ability to render service by small intervals. If I can do this much, let me try to do this much. And in some certain installments, let's increase our quota of accepting some challenge to please Krishna and Guru. Right? Let's stretch slightly. But overnight you can't stretch so much like this. But slowly we need to accept something which is beyond our prowess. Right? Keep faith on something which may not be logically practical to my current level of intelligence. Right? At my current level, my understanding is I won't be able to do it, but let me try. Let me give it a try, right? So keeping faith on Krishna. So like that, slowly if one can develop one's faith, then Krishna will empower. So here Indra is overwhelmed by his own strength. I threw the club, I was defeated. If I throw the thunderbolt, I will be defeated. That is his doubt. But Indra says, don't be overwhelmed by your power. Right, you don't think that because you don't have the power to fight with me, you can't throw the thunderbolt. Have faith on the Dadhichi's austerities. Have faith on Lord Vishnu's prediction. So, your faith should be on a Vaishnava and Vishnu. not on yourself. That is the lesson that Vritrasura is teaching Indra. Indra, you don't have faith on yourself, that I understand. But how can you not have faith on Dadichi and Vishnu? They are devotees. One is devotee, one is Lord himself. So, Suresha Kasman Nahinoshi Vajram. So, in this particular purport, Prabhupada says, when King Indra threw his club at Vritrasura, Vritrasura caught it with his left hand and retaliated by using it to strike the head of Indra's elephant. Now he throws thunderbolt and Vritrasura catches the thunderbolt and throws on Indra only. What will happen to Indra? So he must be fearing like that. So victory is destined for Vritrasura, not for Indra, in the highest sense. So heavenly planets are like... No, we are reading the 20th verse, 20th translation. So heavenly planets are just below Brahma Loka, but Abrahma Bhuvana Loka, Punaravitri Arjuna. So wherever one may go in the entire universe, it is all filled with birth, old age, disease and death. Material miseries are there. But the magnitude of the miseries and the flavor of the miseries may vary. And the tenure of the miseries may vary, but miseries are there. Birth, old age, disease are there. So whichever planet one may achieve within this material world, it's a temporary situation. But Indra, somehow he was aspiring for that temporary situation. But if one goes back to Godhead, that is a permanent situation. Vritrasura is aspiring for that. By killing Vritrasura, Indra would not actually gain. He would remain in the material world. But Vritrasura will go back to spiritual world. Like that Prabhupada compares these two. So Vritrasura is cheating me. Indra might think that Vritrasura is cheating me. He will make the thunderbolt useless by displaying his powers and again attack me. So, from Vritrasura's side, Vritrasura is very genuinely encouraging Indra to fight and trying to build faith of, increase the faith of Indra on Vishnu's words. But what is Indra doing? Indra thinking, Hari, he's tricking me. He is unnecessarily, will an enemy say like this or what? Throw the thunderbolt, I will be killed if you throw the thunderbolt. Which enemy will give an idea to his enemy to kill himself? Nobody will give. Indra is thinking on those lines. He's tricking me. He's cheating me. He will somehow provoke me to throw this thunderbolt and he will catch the thunderbolt and use it to attack me only. That is Indra's insecurity. He could not sufficiently keep faith on Vritrasura's words. Forget about Vritrasura, even on Vishnu's prediction also. So do not think that I will do this. Hear about my determination of mind. Vritrasura says now. Don't think I am cheating you, Indra. I am not like you. I am not cheating you. Aham samadhaya mano yathahana. Sankarshanastat charanaravinde. Tvadvajraramho lulitagram yapasho. Gatim muneryam yapavidha loka.
By the force of your thunderbolt, I shall be freed of material bondage and shall give up this body and this world of material desires. Fixing my mind upon the lotus feet of Lord Sankarsana, I shall attain the destination of such great sages as Narad Muni, just as Lord Sankarsana has said.
So, in various ways, Vritrasura is trying to encourage Indra. First, Vritrasura provoked Indra by chastising him very severely. You are like Brahmaha, Guruha, Bharatruha. When you die, even fire will not touch you. Only vultures will come and eat you, and you will become the stool of those vultures. Like that very heavy Kshatriya spirit, he was chastising Indra and provoking Indra. Indra was still fearful. Later, he tried to invoke the faith of Indra in Lord Vishnu's words. So he is the one who predicted that I will be killed by thunderbolt, please release the thunderbolt. Then also Indra was doubtful. Now he is saying, enough, I can't counsel this fellow on the battlefield, so let me focus on expressing my desire. At least seeing my aspiration, there could be some transformation in his attitude. So you are thinking that if you throw the thunderbolt, I will catch it and use it to attack you only. But I will not do it. See, what is my aspiration? If you throw the thunderbolt, by force of the thunderbolt, I shall be freed from material bondage. My aspiration is not to rule the heavenly planets. My aspiration is to be freed from this material bondage. Your aspiration is to get entangled more in the material bondage by becoming an enjoyer of heavenly planets. But my aspiration is not like that. Right? By the force of your thunderbolt, I shall be freed of material bondage. And I will give up this body and this world which is full of material desires. So I will fix my mind upon the lotus feet of Lord Sankarsana, and I shall attain the destination of such great sages like Narada, just as Sankarsana has said. Now Vritrasara is focusing on his aspiration. What is his desire? What is his intention in encouraging Indra to throw the thunderbolt? So Prabhupada writes about a devotee's desire to remember Krishna at the time of death in the purport. Aham samadhaya manaha. Most important duty at the time of death is to concentrate one's mind on the lotus feet of Krishna, Vishnu, or Sankarsana, or any Vishnu Murti. So he was destined to be killed by the thunderbolt. There was no question of its being baffled. When Vishnu predicted, it will happen. Simple. So problem is, when a person does not put sufficient faith on Vishnu's prediction and is overwhelmed by the practicalities and the situation, the current situation. So now a devotee can see bird's eye view of the entire situation. He can see the bigger picture of Lord's plan, Lord's will, Lord's desire, Lord's empowerment. But an immature person will be overwhelmed by the ground level situation. It is not practical now. This is not a right move at this point. So like that he will be overwhelmed. So Vritrasara requested Indra to release thunderbolt immediately, and he prepared himself to fix his mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. Let's end this fight. How long we will fight? Enough fight. So you just throw the thunderbolt and kill me. You go to heaven, I will go back to God. Done. Let's close this fighting business. How many verses Sukadeva Goswami has to speak more on the fight? So let's close this fight. But Indra is not in a mood to hear. So a devotee is always ready to give up his material body. Unfortunately, even though the body is destined for destruction, fools and rascals invest all their faith in the body and are never eager to return back to Godhead. So, now, Vritrasara says, do not say that satisfied with your devotion, Sankarsana will give you the wealth and enjoyment of Swarga. Listen, Indra, you and I are both devotees of the same Lord. He will give you enjoyment and wealth the way you desire, but he will not give me enjoyment and wealth. So here Vritrasara is saying that Sankarsana will not give me enjoyment and wealth. For example, if just for argument's sake, Vritrasara wins the battle and Indra loses the battle, then Vritrasara can sit on the throne of heaven. He can enjoy heaven, but that will never happen. Because Vritrasara's level of devotion is way different from Indra's level of devotion. So in the 22nd verse, Vritrasara clarifies this point. Pumsam, pumsam kilaikanta dhiyam svakanam. Yah sampado divi bhumaurasayam. Narati yadvesha udvega adhir. Madah kalir vyasanam samprayasaham.
Persons who fully surrender at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and always think of his lotus feet are accepted and recognized by the Lord as his own personal assistants or servants. The Lord never bestows upon such servants the brilliant opulences of the upper, lower and middle planetary systems of this material world. When one possesses material opulence in any of these three divisions of the universe, his possessions naturally increase his enmity, anxiety, mental agitation, pride and belligerence. Thus, one goes through much endeavor to increase and maintain his possessions, and he suffers great unhappiness when he loses them.
So here Vritrasura clarifies the position of a pure devotee and a mixed devotee.
Pumsam kalai kanta dhiyam svakanam. Pumsam kila ekanta dhiyam. Ekanta dhiyam means a devotee who has one pointed focus on only worshipping Krishna. Ekanta dhiya. Svakanam. Svakanam means Krishna considers such devotees as his own people. Right? For such people, yaha sampado divi bhumo rasayam na rati yadvesha udvega adhir. So Krishna will never give the opulence of these three worlds to such devotees. Svakanam. Ekanta dhiya people. Krishna will never give that sampada. Divi bhumo rasayam. Divi bhumo rasayam means divi is heavenly planets. Bhumo is the middle planetary systems. And rasaya means rasatala, this lower planetary systems, right? So whether it is lower planetary systems or middle planetary systems or upper planetary systems or whatever opulence may be there, Krishna will never give such opulences, material opulences, to a devotee who is ekanta dhiya and who is svakanam, right? Why? Because along with those opulences come the emotions, or unwanted feelings of enmity, anxiety, agitation, pride, etc., etc. Na rati yad dvesha udvega adhir madaha. So dvesha, udvega, madaha, and all kinds of distress, vyasanam, all will come along with those opulences. Because whenever such opulences are there, one may become proud, one may become lax in his spiritual practices. And whenever he loses those opulences, he will be lamenting and hankering for those opulences. And whoever has stolen those opulences, these people will become envious of him and try to scheme how to pull him down and then again get back on his position. So like that, along with opulence comes a lot of entanglement, lot of becoming overwhelmed with negative emotions, unnecessary things that are not very conducive for devotional service. Along with opulence, all this will come. That is why devotees, surrendered devotees, will never receive any material opulence from the Supreme Lord. So Vritrasura says, I will never become the king of heaven. Don't worry. I am never your competitor. Don't see me as a competitor. See me as an instrument to achieve your desire of sitting on the heavenly throne. I am just an instrument. I am your servant. Right? And by being your instrument, I will go back to Godhead. Right? So actually, my instrument to go back to Godhead is in your hands. Release that. So like that, Vritrasura is, in various ways, he is counseling Indra on the battlefield. So, of course, we should not offend Indra or minimize the position of Indra in this context. He is a devotee with certain role, with certain position. So we can only take lessons from his activities, right? So Prabhupada writes in the purport that the Supreme Lord awards respective benedictions to his devotees. Yathamam prapadyanti. So Lord is just reciprocating with the attitude of Indra and with the attitude of Vritrasura, and fulfilling the desires that they have, respective desires. So Lord was more favorable to Vritrasura in the sense that after being killed, Vritrasura will go back to Godhead. But the victorious Indra would rot in the material world. Both were devotees, but Lord is dealing with them in different ways depending on their attitudes. So the danger of material possessions, Prabhupada comments on that. So after accumulating a lot of wealth, people only will create enemies. Whenever somebody is progressing in this material world, becoming wealthy or famous or whatever, there are so many people who are showering such negative glances on him, throwing such negative vibrations, envious glances, because we celebrating others' success is not the natural emotion of a conditioned soul. Becoming envious of others' success is the natural default mentality of most of the conditioned souls, or every conditioned soul, right? It's not very easy to keep one's cool when someone who is just next to you is progressing like anything.
And this mentality will creep into devotional circles also. Because of not having the understanding of the right definitions of what is success and what is failure in devotional life. In devotional life, success means developing a genuine taste for hearing and chanting. Developing a genuine service attitude. That is the success. If one does not get this definition right, and if he attributes success to how popular he is, how many accomplishments he had, how efficient he is, how much charisma he had, and how many counselees he had, and what is the position that he is holding in the temple management or whatever. So if one is carried away by these external achievements or accomplishments of people and thinks that that is success, puja, labha, pratishtha, that is success. If one has that definition of success in devotional life, then he will not be able to bear he cannot tolerate someone else being more successful than him. Envy will creep into him. And if the other person who happened to be successful in that way, if he becomes popular or charismatic or whatever, if he becomes successful in that way, and if he also thinks that is real success that he is having, then he will be overwhelmed with feelings of pride. Because of not having the right definition of what is success in devotional life, a person who is successful in that way will become proud. A person who is not successful in that way will become envious. But if both are having right definitions of what is success in devotional life, as I said earlier, then someone is successful, other person will feel inspired by him. If he is successful, he becomes compassionate to him. Right? So, the success in devotional life will only generate positive emotions and give inspiration to other people also to practice nicely. But not having the right definition of success will only create inferiority complex, insecurity in other people and in one's own self also. Right? Success on a material platform will increase pride in oneself and increase envy in others. Success on a spiritual platform will increase inspiration and positivity and encouragement and whatever positive emotions a devotee could have in the overall devotee community in general, right? So one should not be unnecessarily be hankering for external achievements, and one should not be overwhelmed if he has those external achievements. One should not be overwhelmed with pride. So pride and envy, these two things. So here, material possessions of a devotee versus karmi. A karmi's possessions are achieved as a result of karma, but those of a devotee are arranged by the Supreme Lord just to facilitate his devotional service. 23rd verse. Traivargikaya savighatamasmat patirvidhatte purushasya shakra ततोनुमेयो भगवत प्रसादो यो दुर्लभो किंचन गोचरोन्यैः.
Our Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, forbids his devotees to endeavor uselessly for religion, economic development and sense gratification. O Indra, one can thus infer how kind the Lord is. Such mercy is obtainable only by unalloyed devotion, unalloyed devotees, and not by persons who aspire for material gains.
So, traivargikaya savighatam asmad. Patirvidhatte purushaya sakra. Oh Indra, our Lord obstructs the endeavors for traivargikasya, artha, dharma, and kama. So, Lord is not very excited when his devotee is just getting absorbed in dharma, artha, kama. So he would only obstruct that endeavors. So tato anumeyo bhagavat prasado. So one can thus infer how kind the Lord is. That is their kindness. If I am getting failed in my execution of mundane religious principles, artha, getting economic development, kama, getting sense gratification, that is actually mercy of the Lord. Right? So devote, Lord will actually place obstructions in such trivargika achievements of a devotee.
Yo durlabho akinchana gocharo anyayihi. Such mercy is obtainable only by unalloyed devotees, not by the aspirants of material gains. So if one is aspiring to be unalloyed devotee, Lord will put obstacles in his dharma artha kama. So in this purport, Prabhupada writes, the special mercy for an unalloyed devotee. Lord saves the devotee from the hard labor to achieve dharma, artha and kama. Of course, if one wants such benefits, Lord certainly will award them. Indra, although a devotee, was not much interested in release from material bondage. Instead, he desired sense gratification, desired the opulence of heaven, desired the prestige and power of being the king of heavenly planets, a high standard of material happiness. But Vritrasara, he aspired only to serve the Supreme Lord. Therefore, Lord arranged for him to go back to Godhead after his bodily bondage was destroyed by Indra. So Indra is helping Vritrasura to go back to Godhead, in one sense, instrument. And Vritrasura is helping Indra in achieving his heavenly planets. So both are devotees at different levels. Lord brought two devotees together and have certain transaction and achieve their individual results. This is the expertise of the Lord to orchestrate such kind of arrangement. See what kind of inconceivable ways Lord will function. You can't even... Lord fulfilled the desire of Vritrasura also, Lord fulfilled the desire of Indra also, and both of them are fighting. How can two people fight with each other and have both of their desires fulfilled? And who can orchestrate such a fight except Krishna? Right? So Krishna is so expert. The way he functions, we cannot understand. Na hiyasya karhichit rajan puman vedha vidichitam yad vijignasaya yukta muhyanti kavayopihi. This incident, which is recorded in the pages of Bhagavatam, is not an ordinary incident. Some Puranas say that Bhagavatam in which Vritrasura's episode is glorified is very glorious. So Bhagavatam is recognized for having Vritrasura's episode in it. Right? There are some references like that. So Vritrasura requested Indra to release his thunderbolt against him as soon as possible, so that both he and Indra would benefit according to their proportionate advancement in devotional service. Proportionate advancement. And by arranging this fight, Lord is not being partial to anyone also. Lord is not cheating anyone also. Proportionate devotional service. He is just being reciprocal with the proportionate devotional service that both of them have rendered. He fulfilled both of their desires. It's a brilliant way of dealing with subordinates, which Lord is doing, exemplifying. Now it's 12:49. We have the prayers of Vritrasura. Should we start now? Only four are there. Okay, we will start, go till 1:15. Whatever we are able to cover, we will cover that much only. Something is remaining, we will take tomorrow. We will not complete the prayers if we are unable to complete. 24th. Seeing that Indra did not throw the thunderbolt, Vritrasura again thought, why am I wasting time with this fellow? Chakravarti Bhatt says, what will I say to this rascal Indra, who sees everything materially? Itna bol raha hu, kuch lagi nahi rahe usko. He is unable to understand what I am trying to tell him. Forget him. I will offer my prayers to the Lord. So he begins prayers from the next verse. Right? So, Aham Hare Tava Padai Kamula Dasanu Daso Bhavitasmi Bhujaha Manasmareta Shupater Gunamste Grinita Vakkarma Karotu Kayaha Aham Hare Tava Padai Kamula Dasanu Daso Bhavitasmi Bhujaha Manasmareta Shupater Gunamste Grinita Vakkarma Karotu Kayaha.
Vritrasara is offering this prayer. Aham hare tava padaikamula. Oh my dear Lord, I want to be the servant of the servant of your servants. Dasanu daso bhavitasmi bhuyaha. When will I become the servant of the servant of the Lord again? He is not saying, my dear Lord, I want to become your servant. I want to become the servant of your servant. Many times, there is a feeling of dissatisfaction or discontent or insecurity in the practitioner that he is not directly reporting to the topmost authority. Some other fellow is coming in the middle and I have to report to this intermediate authority and I am not reporting to the higher authority, I am not reporting to the guru. If that mentality is there, whomever he reports to, he wants to remove that fellow and then go to the next fellow. You just have to extend this logic only. So he says, Dasanu daso bhavitasmi bhuyaha. When will I become the servant of your eternal servants? The other day also I was saying in our Sadachara class, what happens in the spiritual world? So gopis never want to directly serve Krishna. They want to assist Srimati Radharani in her service to Krishna. Thus they get 10 million times more happiness than when they directly serve Krishna. And Srimati Radharani also derives 10 million times more happiness in encouraging all the gopis to directly render service to Krishna than when she personally serves Krishna. And both these parties have no mood to avoid service. They are always enthusiastic to serve. That also we have discussed. Because in our thing, of course, that's natural. Na? If someone else serves and I don't have to serve, I'm always happy. That is our mood, right? Then sometimes, or many times. So there, that mood is not there. They have eagerness to render service, but they are more happy to be in the background and assist the servant than directly the master. Here he also says, Dasanu daso bhavitasmi bhuyaha. So being in the background and rendering all service with full enthusiasm and full responsibility is the highest position. Being aspired by purest devotees. Right? Manaha smareta ashupater gunamste. He says, may my mind and asupater. Asupate means lord of my life. Asu means life, prana. Asupater means lord is the master of my life. So may my mind always think of the transcendental attributes of that lord of my life. Manaha smareta asupater gunamste. The qualities of that asupati, qualities of that Supreme Lord are the source of my sustenance. May they always be in my remembrance, in my memory. That is his aspiration. Next, grinita va karma karotu kayaha. So my mind should think of Lord's qualities. Second, grinita vak, my words, my power of speech, what should it do? It should glorify the Lord's attributes. Grinita vak. Then karma karotu kayaha. And kaya, my body, what should it do? It should engage in the service, practical services of the Lord. So my mind should think of the Lord, my body should act for the Lord, and my words should glorify the Lord. So my entire existence is there for Lord's pleasure, Lord's service. And how do I serve? By being under his devotees. Not directly serving him, but by being, by serving him under the guidance of his devotees, under the direction of his devotees, or by serving his devotees. I should become the servant of the servant of the servant of his devotees and thus serve Krishna. So this is the aspiration which is described in Srimad Bhagavatam. So Vritrasara is offering this such exemplary prayer even on the battlefield. So how can someone who is in a demon body on the battlefield in the midst of fight offer such prayers? He is not an ordinary demon. Demons are generally in mode of ignorance and passion. They cannot have any devotional qualities even when they are coolly sitting in their darbar. Right? They are happily sitting in a peaceful atmosphere in midst of mountain when Goshala is there. Even here also, they can't coolly think. What to speak of the situation where they are on the battlefield, enemies right in front, throwing the weapon. In that context, to be in Shuddha Sattva is not possible. To be in heavy passion and ignorance is only possible. You cannot expect any other behavior from a demon on the battlefield. But here he's offering such player. Dasanu daso bhavitasmi bhuyaha. That's what he says.
Manaha smriter ashupater gunamste.
So in the purport, Prabhupada is saying the meaning of becoming a dasanu das.
So Mahaprabhu is also showing by his example. Gopi bhartuh padakamalayor dasa dasa dasanu dasa.
Naham vipra nacha narapati naapi vaishyo nasudro naham varni nacha grahapatir navanastho yatirva kintu prodyan nikila paramananda purnamruta abdher gopi bhartuhu padakamalayor dasa 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 anudasa.
Servant of gopi bhartu.
And we recite this prayer just before our TT services, right? Dasanudaso bhavitasmi bhuya.
So Prabhupada is quoting that. Gopi bhartu padakamalayor dasa dasanudasa.
One must accept the spiritual master in disciplic succession and is a servant of the servant of the Supreme Lord. And what is the vow that we take during the time of initiation? How do we end our vows? I will serve in the mission of Srila Prabhupada's movement in the mood of servant of servant. Right? Under his direction, one must then engage one's three properties. We have three properties. Body, mind and words. If one is thus engaged in loving service of the Lord, one's life is successful. I will become the servant of servant. Please say why there is such delay. I am tormented out of longing. Lord says, very soon I will bring you my side. Please ask for a boon. So then, what is the boon? My mind should remember you. My words should sing of your qualities. My body should massage your feet and fan you and give you betel nut. That's how he is saying some services. And this is the prayer of my mind, voice and body. With all my three faculties, I want to engage in full-time devotional service to the Lord. This is the highest aspiration of a devotee. Now, if the Lord says, I will give you all results including swarga and liberation, right? So, now he says, Vritrasura rejects such benedictions. I don't want swarga, I don't want liberation. You remember? I was explaining that verse. Tulayamalave napina swargam napunar bhavam bhagavat sangya sangasya martyanam ikimutachishaha. On one side of the balance you put swarga and apavarga. On the other side of the balance you put a small fraction of one limb of devotional service. This is more heavier. Tulayamalave napi. The association of devotees is one feature of devotional service. It's not the complete process also. It's one aspect of devotional service. And in that one aspect, you take one small drop, lava, a moment of association of devotees. You put on this one side of balance. And you put the ultimate results of karma process and jnana process, which is heavenly planets and liberation, on the other side of the balance. They cannot compare to even this drop also. That's how bhakti yoga, a small trace of bhakti is way superior to the ultimate destination of jnana and karma. Right? So that is why he rejects, our Vritrasura rejects any benedictions of swarga and apavarga.
Nanaka prishtam nachapa rameshtyam. Na sarva bhaumam narasadhipatyam. Na yoga siddhir apunar bhavamva. Samanjasatva virahaya kankshe. Nanaka prushtam nachapa rameshtyam. Na sarva bhaumam narasadhipatyam. Na yoga siddhir apunar bhavamva. Samanjasatva virahaya kankshe.
Nanaka prishtam. I don't want any heavenly enjoyment or any enjoyment that is available in the, all the top planetary systems, upper planetary systems, heaven, Dhruvaloka also. I don't want all that. Nanaka prishtam. Nacha parameshtyam. I don't even want the planet of Parameshti, Brahma, Satyaloka. Brahma lokals I don't want. Nanaka prishtam, nacha parameshtyam. na sarvabhaumam. Sarvabhaumam means the supreme sovereignty over all the planets, right? Oh, I'm going to make you the head of this planet, that planet, this planet. No, give me all planets also, I don't want. Na sarvabhaumam. Na rasadhipatyam. Right? Sarvabhaumam is generally, this word is used to the topmost ruler in this bhumandala, in this earthly planets, middle planetary systems. Right? Earthly plane. Na sarvabhaumam. Whoever is the king of all kings is called sarvabhauma. So he rejected all the upper planetary systems in the first line. And in the first half of the second line, he is rejecting middle planetary systems. Na sarvabhaumam. Na rasadhipatyam. Rasadhipatya means rasatal, talatal, mahatal, bhutala, patala, vitala, atala, all these lower seven planetary systems also is rejecting. Whatever you have in your Subodhini, page number 24, the structure of the universe, right, you see, no position in this entire chart is pleasing to Vritrasur. This chart he rejected. You have to study, but he rejected this chart. So, na sarvabhaumam, na rasadhipatyam. Na yoga siddhir. Yoga siddhis means all these ashtanga yogis perform mystic yogas and they get anima, laghima, mahima, garima, prapti, ishitva, all these eight siddhis are there. We just rejected all that. Na yoga siddhir. Apunar bhavam va. He doesn't want even liberation also. Means he is rejecting all the results that are aspired by karmis, gnanis, yogis. Right? Yogis want siddhis, he doesn't want that. Gnanis want liberation, he doesn't want that. Karmis want heavenly enjoyment, he doesn't want that. And even ordinary materialistic people also, they want to enjoy here, earthly plane, lower planets, or whatever it is. Nothing of this world. What he wants? Samanjasatva virahaya kankshe. Burning in separation from you, the source of all opportunities, none of these things will satisfy me. What he wants then, he will reveal in the next verse. But in the last line of this verse, he says, Samanjasatva. Samanjasatva means, oh Lord, you are the source of all opportunities. Right? Virahaya kankshe. So, I am in separation from you. If I am in separation from you, what will satisfy me? For example, a fish is out of water. He is in separation from water. You give rasmalai, rasgulla, you give all beautiful women, beautiful magazines and nice cushion. Whatever heavenly enjoyment you may provide to that fish will not satisfy that fish. You just have to put the fish back in the water. Only that will satisfy the fish. Right? Similarly, he says, I am in separation from you, Virahaya. I am in separation from you. How will any of these benedictions will satisfy me? You are the source of all opportunities. Give me this opportunity to engage in your service. Right? Kankshe, na kankshe. I don't want any other things. That's why he is always putting a na everywhere. One na he did not say. I don't want liberation, heavenly branch. That's he did not say. Na nakaprushtam, na chaparameshtam, na sarvabhomam, na rasadhipatyam, na yoga siddhir, apunar bhavam va. Va is also equal to na there. So like that he says, all six nas here he is putting. It's like na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. So in this purport, Prabhupada is writing 25th. No exalted position in the three worlds can satisfy a devotee without engaging in devotional service. Tandera charana sevi bhakta sanivas janma janme haya eyabhilash. Okay, burning in separation, these things will not satisfy me. This is the desire of a pure devotee. Only to engage in the loving service, in the constant association of the Lord and his eternal associates, is his benediction. Now he says, though I long for you, attaining you depends on you. I can do nothing in this regard. So, Vritrasur, although he is longing for him, he is not demanding the Lord. Give me, Deodo. He is not demanding him. He is only requesting him. And he is just aligning himself with the sweet will of the Lord. Because this Vritrasur is Chitraketu. He was Chitraketu earlier. When he was cursed to die, cursed to become a demon, he never complained on the Lord. My dear Lord, I am king of Vidyadhara planet. You only made me, you gave me darshan, I offered you prayers. Just because I gave one feedback to Shiva, you will make me demon. He never complained. So when he did not have any complaining attitude, when he was cursed to become a demon, why will he have any complaining attitude when the Lord delays his entrance into the spiritual world? So Vritrasara, although he is saying Nanaka Prushtam, Nacha Parameshtam, these are all only requests, not demands. These are only the longings of his heart. I don't want them, I just want to serve you. This is my longing, this is my desire, but ultimately I depend on your sanction. If you want me to aspire, to achieve what I aspire for, then I will take it from you. Otherwise, it's not in my hands. Right? So 26th verse, he says, Ajata Paksha Iva Mataram Khaga Stanyam Yathavat Sarata Kshudartha Priyam Priyeva Vyushitam Vishanna Manoravindaksha Didriksha Tetvam Ajata Paksha Iva Mataram Khaga Stanyam Yathavat Sarata Kshudartha Priyam Priyeva Vishitam Vishanna Manoravindaksha Didriksha Tetvam. Now, he gives three examples to present his yearning to serve the Lord unceasingly. First, he says, Ajata Paksha Iva Mataram Khagaha. Khagaha means birds, small birds, baby birds. So, Ajata Pakshaha. Ajata Pakshaha. Paksha means wings. Ajata means they are not yet born. The wings are not yet active. A small bird is born, it cannot immediately fly. So, just like baby birds without developed wings, always seek shelter of their mothers to feed them. A mother bird will catch some grains and other things and then put it in the mouths of these baby birds. So just like these ajata paksha, these birds, baby birds with undeveloped wings depend on their mother's mercy, mother's care, I am dependent on you, he says. Next, he gives another beautiful analogy. Stanyam yatha vatsaratah kshudarthah. Vatsa means calf. You can daily see in our goshala. Just like small calves who were just drinking milk of their mothers. So they were very anxiously waiting. When will the cowherd boy release us so that we can go and drink milk from our mothers? Right? Hungry calves await anxiously to drink milk from their mothers, mother cows. Second example. That is how I am hungry to serve you. Next, Priyam Priyeva Vyushitam Vishanna. So, Priyam Priyeva, this is another analogy where a relationship between a lover and beloved, or a wife and a husband, is presented. So, just like a morose wife whose husband is away from the home, always longs for him to return and satisfy her in all respects. So like that, just like birds, just like calves, just like a chaste wife, I am longing to serve you, my dear Lord. Mano aravindaksha didrikshatetvam. I always yearn for this opportunity to render direct service unto you. Just like all these people have that longing. Birds have longing to receive food from their mothers. Calves have longing to accept milk from their mothers. And wife has longing to serve her husband, to receive attention from her husband. And why is he giving three analogies? Why can't he give one analogy? Because many times there are certain gradations in these analogies. In this first example of baby bird, so Lord may say, I will give you heaven. But Vritrasara says, he does not desire anything except the Lord's sweetness. So he gives another example of calf. So, baby bird is just sitting there trying, waiting for mother to come personally and feed the bird. So, Vritrasara gave another example of calf. So, calves also desire their own happiness. So, calves also, they were just running towards the although there is an endeavor from the calf side, birds are just waiting. There is no endeavor from their side. Only it's purely mother bird who is coming and feeding. But calves can run towards the mother and then drink milk. But still, calf also is deriving some benefit from the mother. So calf is not rendering any active service to the mother. Right? So calves also desire their own happiness. Not satisfied with this example also, he gives another example of wife. Just as a wife desires to make her husband happy with all her senses, and also desires happiness for her by her husband's beauty, sweet voice, qualities, etc., Vritrasar wanted to serve the Lord like that. When a wife is waiting for her husband, she also has the ability to render some service to that husband. That yearning or longing is there in all the three cases. But in the first case, only longing is there. There is not much scope for service attitude. There is not much scope for voluntarily going towards the object, towards the mother bird. And in the second case, although there is a longing, there is an endeavor put on the side of calf to approach, to fulfill that longing. But still, he is deriving some benefit. But in the third case, wife, she is longing also, she is yearning also, and she is also able to render some service. So in that way, this third example is considered little more advanced than the other two examples. So while he is speaking this verse, there is a gradation in his presentation, right? So the last verse. So becoming humble, Vritrasara thinks, how could he ask for such a privilege? Although he is presenting his longing, still he is little embarrassed to ask such privileges from the Lord. So what he does in the last verse? Mamottama shloka janeshu sakhyam samsara chakre bhramatasva karmabhi tvanmaya yatmatma jadara griheshu. Asakta chittasya nanatha bhuyat. He says, Mama Uttama Shloka Janeshu Sakhyam. He said, earlier he said, I want to come to back to Godhead, I want to serve you personally and all. But later he felt, it is very privileged benediction that I am asking. How can I even ask like that? So let me ask him the bare minimum. I don't mind staying in this material world also, although he said, Ananayaka Prishnam, etc. So I will present something very simpler. He says, Mama Uttama Shloka Janeshu Sakhyam. I simply seek friendship with the friendship in the association of your devotees. Uttama Shloka Janeshu Sakhyam. Uttama Shloka is the Lord. Uttama Shloka Janeshu means devotees of the Lord. Sakhyam means friendship with them. I want that. Next, Samsara Chakra Bhramatasva Karma Bihi. I don't mind wandering in this Samsara Chakra, the wheel of this cycle of birth and death, because of my own karmas. Samsara chakre bhramataha swakarma bhihi. I don't mind wandering from one species to another species, one body to another body, one planet to another planet, one universe to another universe, in this material universe, I don't mind. It's not an aspiration. Earlier he said, Nanayaka Prashtam Nacha Parameshyam. So all these aspirations are associated with some enjoying spirit. But here, he is not desiring that I want to wander from one body to another body. He is saying that I have no desire to be relieved from that transmigration if you want me to continue like that. This is the spirit in which he said it. Samsara chakre bhramatasva karma bhi. So tvan maya ya atma. Atma is body. Atmaja is children. Dara is wife. Griheshu. Geheshu means home. So, tvan maya yatmatmaja dara gveheshu asakta chittasya nanatha bhuyat. So, let my mind not be attached to this body, mind, children,
home, etc., etc., under the spell of your Maya. At least that much you give. I should not be distracted by your Maya, and I should not be distracted by any desire for liberation from this material bondage also. I just want the association of your devotees. That's all. The only desire he had is Mama Uttama Shloka Janeshu Sakhyam. As long as you give me that ultimate benediction of being in the association of devotees, like things can be taken care of, right? I can survive based on that. So like that, he concluded his glorious prayers. Thank you all very much. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Vritrasura ki jai.